Okay, brothers and sisters, let's stop the praying. Let's start. This afternoon, we're going to start the first message of series 4. It's in the page 60 in your outline. Maybe you may be wondering why there are three brothers sitting here, not standing, but sitting. Because we want to use a very special way. We don't want to use the way of giving a message, but we want to fellowship by sitting down using this format to talk about, to share with you the message one of series 4. Actually, this format was used by Brother Lee during his perfecting training. He was the MC. He asked some brothers sitting down there, if the brothers could not give right answers, Brother Lee actually answered the questions himself. So Brother Lee actually used this kind of format. So in this message one, series 4, we have 6 questions based on the outline. I want to use this format. We want to ask questions and have everyone to answer. We want to cover the outlines using 6 questions. Let me mention about the questions. The number one question is, how can we arrive at the new revival? And the next question is actually in the abstract, in verse in the experts in the 64. And next one is regarding the Godman practice and exercise. And the, another question is regarding the model of the Godman living. And the very last question is about the law of the revival. So today we are a vital group. Let me introduce myself first. Actually, let's have this brother introduce himself.
My name is David Trey. I'm currently in North California. From Northern California. My name is David Choi. The meaning of my Chinese name, Jian Zhong, is in the process of building up. I'm meeting in church in
Brother Choi is Chinese is not very good. If he speaks something not right, not proper,
I'm from Hong Kong.
Not correct, please. Forgive him.
My name is Brother Chen Junliang. I am in the church in Taipei.
My name is Livingstone. Brother Song Gaohong. I serve in the church in Chicago. Praise the Lord. Let's start with our topic today. The present urgent needs in the Lord's recovery. We have heard this word revival, but yet we're not very clear about this word revival. I want to ask this question. Why in the Lord's recovery, we need a new revival?
It is from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 2. It said, revive your work. O Jehovah, revive your work in the midst of the years. So revival in Habakkuk, it's the elect of God had a petition, have a prayer to God. May we all have the spirit of petition, a prayer to enter into this message. And second, another verse I feel that we can read, it's in the book of Hosea. And after 2 days, He will enliven us after 2 days. On the third day, he will raise us up. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, in the past 2,000 years, that's the 2 days. And the third day will be the day of the Lord's coming. So when we speak of the third day, we also remember the Lord's resurrection. So the revival, the reality is the Lord's resurrection. When we have the Lord's resurrection, we enter into the condition of revival. Amen. Therefore, to general population, they may think of revival as like a movement, or it's a special conference. So when I was young in elementary school, across from my house, there's a church meeting hall. There's always a banner over there saying that it's like a revival meeting this Saturday. So at that time, I didn't quite understand. I didn't know what they were doing. So anyway, my point is that when we speak of revival, it's not their revival. Some people might consider revival as when we are down in our spirit, we come to the meetings and then our spirits are revived. Of course, our spirits will be revived, but this is not what the revival probably is referring to. Or when we're in the world, maybe we committed sin or have a living without the Lord, but we need to be brought back. This might be considered a revival, but this is still not the revival that Brother Lee referred to. So today, the revival that we understand, that we know, is that when we practice our vision that we have seen, when we practice the vision, this is the revival. So the definition of revival is that we practice this vision that we have seen. So this is what our brother was meant when he said revival. Even when back in Martin Luther's time, when he saw justification by faith, and when they saw this truth, they were revived. The believers were revived. So this was a good, very good example. But unfortunately, there were too many mixtures, so they didn't continue. And then we know that later on in Germany, the brother Zinzendorf, and then they have a group of Moravian brothers. They really saw the practice of the church. And then they really saw that we need to be one in Christ. So they enter into the practice. And then because of that, they have a revival that's influential. And then later in 19th century, the British brethren, they saw something and then they brought in a lot of practices. So they brought in a great revival. And Brother Watchman Nee once said, "The revival with the brethren probably was a fulfillment of the church in Philadelphia. But later on, there's the condition of Laodicea." So today, we see that the Lord's recovery, there's the urgent matter at this present time. Why do we say an urgent matter? Because at the end age, the Lord still does not have a solid revival that others can see on this earth. So may we all have this prayer, which is the prayer of Habakkuk. May you revive your work. So I want to read a portion. This is Brother Lee in 1994 in the summer training. So it's the life study on Kings. He said his prayer was this: Lord, give us a genuine revival. We don't want to stay in our current situation. Bring us to a renewed condition. And he continued. He said, thank you, Lord. Your heart desire, your will has been revealed to us. Grant us the grace that we may rise up on this way to pursue after you. Grant us a genuine revival. Amen. His prayer, I read his prayer many, many times. I really have this feeling that the prayer of Habakkuk was for the Old Testament elects. Brother Lee's prayer is for us. So before the Lord, I want to have the same prayer. May we all have the same desire, same prayer before the Lord, for the Lord's recovery, that today we will enter into this petition so that the Lord may have a new revival.
Praise the Lord. Your fellowship make me a lot more clear about the word revival. Even with Martin Luther, he did the work he did was a revival. Actually, in the history of the church, there's big and small, many different revivals. There's a school called the Wheaton College in Chicago. It's very famous. Actually, Billy Graham went there, and there's a museum there remembering Billy Graham. And that museum talks about it actually talked about three revivals. I don't want to get into the details, but in the recent history, the Christians they all kind of agree there's three. And actually, the biggest revival, actually, Miss Brother Tui, do you know which one it is? It's actually the revival of the Wales.
That revival, the revival in Wales, Roberts. At that time, that revival, many were saved. Many wept and they repented. That was a great revival. Thank you for mentioning that one.
I have done some research on the matter of revival, and there's one characteristic. There's one characteristic regarding the revival, that is, it's all short-lived. And the revival at Wales, it only lasted for 1 year. And there was a co-worker after the ITERO training. We actually went there to visit. And there was a doorkeeper, and he described the condition of the revival. He said the judges wore white gloves. What does that mean? Even the police lost their jobs. And the mines didn't have any people working there. Why? At the time, actually, they used donkeys to pull the mines, the coals. And the miners will use very rough languages to rebuke the donkeys. But after they got saved, their language changed. So they used nice languages. And that revival changed a lot of conditions. And several years ago, we went there. I think it's in 2014. Unfortunately, we did not see any more sign of the revival. And Brother Lee said that the new revival, Brother Lee is talking about the new revival that will last till the Lord's coming back. How can we reach such kind of condition, this kind of new revival?
Just now, Brother Tui told us the meaning of revival. in the entire church history, among Christians, there have been many large and small revivals. But the new revival that Brother Lee fellowshiped with us is a revival that has never been seen in history. It is the greatest, the largest, the highest, and the last revival. This revival will bring the Lord back. So at the end of Brother Lee's ministry, in many meetings, in many occasions, he would fellowship about this revival. To attain this new revival, there are three very important elements. The first one, we need to attain to the high peak of the divine revelation. Number two, we need to live a God-man living. And number three, we need to shepherd according to God. Just now we said the Wellesley revival, but it was very short. It quickly ended. So then the Lord's move went to the east, where Brother Nee started to continue this work of recovery. And Brother Nee, we first saw the matter of salvation, and then he showed us the matter of the church. But how can we have the proper church life? Well, Brother Nee showed us that we need to experience Christ as life. In 1939, on these basic elements, he continued to show us the matter of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the goal of God's economy, and this is what God's enemy fears the most, that God's children would bring forth the body of Christ. So after Brother Nee released this matter of the body of Christ, the enemy came in and attacked, and Brother Nee's ministry ceased for 6 years until 1948. And then after the recovery of his ministry, message after message, the focus was on the body of Christ. Of course, we know at that time, because of the political situation, Brother Lee was sent from Brother Nee to Taiwan, and from 1949, he began working in Taiwan, and he continued this divine revelation. And he first labored on the matter of Christ and the church, and he went forth until the 80s, when he showed us that we need, in order to have the body of Christ, we need the dispensing, God's dispensing. And then he went forth to show us God's economy. And then in 1994, we reached the high peak of the divine revelation, which is that God became man in order that man may become God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. When Brother Lee released this high peak, he said that all the churches, all the saints, all the leading ones, all the elders should come rise up and pray. We need to have a new revival. But in order to have this new revival, we need to attain to the high peak of the divine revelation. Because these high peak truths are for preparing the bride and for bringing the Lord back. So that's... In order to attain to this high peak of the divine revelation, we need to practice what we have seen and live the God-man living and also shepherd according to God. In order for us to enter into practice and fully attain the high peak of the divine revelation, to live the God-man living and shepherd according to God, which will bring forth the new revival among us, the bride will be prepared and the Lord will return.
This is wonderful. Even though the revival is so high, so precious, but we have a way. First, we need to reach what? The high peak of the divine revelation. Next is that we need to live a God-man living. And the third one is to shepherd according to God. Let me tell you a story. The first time when I heard this is in 1999 in Chicago during the memorial meeting. That was the first time I went to Chicago. Oh, I did not realize after several years I would move there. And Brother Lee just passed away 2 years. Brother Lee passed away in 1997. And that conference is at the end of May in 1999. You know, Brother Lee, when he was alive, he gave many people very precious lessons, even revelations. For example, the divine mysterious realm and the three stages and the organic and the judicial salvation. I have heard so many messages and I asked myself, what was the goal? What's the goal of these messages? Until I went to that memorial conference and then I saw that title, The New Revival, and then it connected these three aspects, the high peak of the divine revelation, the God-man living and the shepherding according to God is to reach the new revival. Do you believe it, brothers and sisters? Let me prove it to you. Now, if you open up the outline, in the outline, the second point, Roman numeral 2, if we see such revelation, there will be a new revival. If we see this vision, it will bring the renewed revival. If we receive this burden of the shepherding, this will bring a great revival. So all these things are related to the revival. Actually, the high peak of divine revelation or shepherding according to God or God-man living, all these have a goal that is to reach the new revival. So in this training, I know the series 3 talked about all these three things. There's three aspects. One is God's revelation. That is, we need to reach the high peak of revelation. Two, we need to live the God-man living. Third, we need to put into practice of the church that is shepherd according to God. So this is pretty good, right? These three items can really help us to reach the new revival.
Brother Song, let me ask you a question. We two brothers mentioned the highest peak of the divine revelation. And living the life of a God-man, what's the relationship between these two? Can you explain and speak concerning this? Because we talk about the highest peak of the divine revelation. The highest peak is very high. And then the life of a God-man is our living. How do you connect?
But that's great. Your question. I hope the Lord will give me the right answers or proper answer. Let me put it this way. As brother said, revival is the practice of the vision that we see. It's the practicality of what we see. For example, Martin Luther saw justification by faith and he put into practice and that was a revival. But we know that the divine revelation is progressive. Oftentimes we can only receive one bit at a time because our vessel is very limited. So God reveals his revelation step by step. And God continues on. I remember a brother said that about 28 years ago, Brother Lee talked about the high peak truth. Even today, we just started to realize what does it mean to enter into the divine mysterious realm. So it took us about 30 years for us to enter in. See, I even brought the book here. The title is Living a Life That's According to the Divine High Peak of the Divine Truth, Divine Revelation. according to Brother Lee, it's the fathers who started to study or research the high peak truth. And they realized that in the Old Testament, and there's the Jehovah, and there's Adonai, but yet in the New Testament, there's the Lord Jesus. What's the relationship? So the fathers, the church fathers, they invented a term, triune God. Tri means three, yun means one. So you put three and one together. It's very, very wonderful. Is it really three or is it one? Three in one, one in three. So that was their first revelation. That is, they see this matter of Trinity, this triune in the Bible. And then Martin Luther saw justification by faith. Every time when someone received a revelation, it brings in, if that's put into practice, it brings in a revival. For example, Brother Lee saw the salvation, the matter of salvation. And there were many missionaries went to China, but it was only one person that was Witness Lee who thoroughly, inside out, thoroughly saw this matter of the salvation. And what's the next? And then Brother Lee saw that after you get saved, you need to be in the church life. But yet there's Catholic and there's the degradation side and degrading side of the church. But yet there's the reality of the church. And then the third step is that Christ needs to be our life. So Christ, he's our salvation and he's our life. But yet these are not the end. He even saw that the body of Christ as the goal or the ultimate goal. The church is just a process, but the body is what we try to reach to. And then the more you see the revelation, the higher, the bigger the revival is. When Brother Lee first went to Taiwan, he talked about Christ, the spirit, the church. Until 1980, Brother Lee saw the economy of God. This was something marvelous. And it's the economy, the administration of the household, and it's dispensing of God. So in 1980, we see there's a revival. And when when Brother Lee talked about God's economy in Germany, and then there was a very strong testimony, but then there was a turmoil. But yet in the beginning of the 1980, there was a condition of revival in Germany. And then in later on, Brother Lee talked about God became man so that man can become God. And Brother Minoru said that for Brother Lee to see the vision, it was not overnight or by one conference. No, it was step by step. For example, Brother Lee, in one memorial conference, he talked about God's, he talked about Christ. He actually used the one term. He said one term that is baby God. Many people could not accept that term, baby God. And that year, in the winter training, and in the second Samuel, Brother Lee talked twice, mentioned baby God twice. And Brother Lee stopped when he came to chapter 7 of First Matthew. And then chapter 8, he got into the high peak of the divine revelation. He saw this revelation. So he saw it step by step. Unfortunately, even though Brother Lee has given us so many high peak divine revelation, but we haven't seen the true, genuine revival. And I remember for when Brother Lee shared about the Kings, the Chronicles, he said, live a life according to the divine high-peak truth. We saw the kings were brought into the good land, so they should enjoy the good land, but their life could not match the vision they saw. So Brother Lee said that we need to live a God-man living. He especially mentioned that in our marriage life, in our family life, in our social life, in the church life, we all need to live the God-man living in our family life. If we live a God-man living, there will not be what? Murmuring, dissension. How many times in our family life we murmur? We have contention. Why? Because we have not followed our spirit. We did not live the God-man living. And then there's a division in the church life. I don't like you. I have my preference. Then I go to a different place to meet. This was so often. Why? Because we did not live, or we have not lived the God-man living. So this revival is not, should not just stop at the revelation, but we have reached the high peak. It's not little slope. We have reached the Himalaya. It's already at the peak, but we need to live a life that we need to practice, put into practice of the vision that we see. Is this a good answer?
So living a God-man living is something that we all hope for, to enter into the reality. So this is not just a message, not a doctrine, but a practice. May the Lord really grant us a way so that we know how to live this God-man living. So simply speaking, we all need to live in our spirit to be conformed to the death of Christ, to live in his resurrection. So maybe Brother Chen, can you give us some substantial help, some practices that can help us to live the God-man living?
From just now, when Brother Song and Brother Cui were speaking, I really thank the Lord. In the Lord's recovery, we are so blessed. In this past summer training, we have these 12 messages of crucial points. The present, the central burden and the present truth before the Lord's return. The divine revelation has clearly showed us, but we need to ask. We have such a high vision, but what kind of living do we have? And I feel in this perfecting training, this is an important burden for us. Not only do we know, not only do we understand the high peak of the divine revelation, we need to experience it, and we need to enter into this experience to have this reality so that we can have a living according to the high peak of the divine revelation and have this God-man living. We need to be in the mingled spirit. Walk according to the living, according to the mingled spirit. So there are five ways, very practical ways for us to take this way. First, we call on the name of the Lord. Second, we pray, read his word. And number three, we unceasingly pray. And number four, we do not quench the spirit. And number five, we do not grieve the spirit. Not only do we see the high peak of the divine revelation in our living, we need to see where are we walking? What is our practical living? And so in Romans 12, Romans 10, it says, "For the Lord is Lord of all, and rich to all who call upon his name." And then Paul also says that he was given given to preach the unsearchable riches of God as the gospel to the Gentiles. We are preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. In Romans 12:2, it says, the Lord is rich to all who call upon his name. So we need to experience and enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ by calling on his name. When we call, oh, Lord Jesus, I believe we all have this experience. Whenever we call on the Lord's name, we can experience the unsearchable riches of Christ. For all of us sitting here, there are some young ones. In 2 Timothy 2, Paul says, but flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, grace, faith, love, and peace of those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Here, Paul was exhorting his young co-worker Timothy, not just to call on the name of the Lord, but to find companions to call on the Lord with. Today in the church life, there is a crucial need. There needs to be a corporate matter of calling on the name of the Lord. By practicing calling on the Lord, we enjoy the Lord. And by calling on the Lord, we are brought into the mingled spirit. And by the Spirit, according to the Spirit, we live and walk, experiencing the control of the Spirit. And this allows us to experience and enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ. Here, when it says righteousness, faith, love, peace, these are all Christ himself. May you all call on the name of the Lord, pursue him, and gain him as our righteousness, faith, love, and peace. I can testify that calling on the name of the Lord will lead us and it will allow us to live a God-man living. I'm from Taiwan, and in Taiwan we have a high-speed railroad, a high-speed highway. And on the highway, there are restrictions to our driving. So everyone who enters onto this highway, whenever you want to speed up, there is going to be a alarm sound that tells you that there's going to be a camera that will capture your speed, and then your car will slow down, and afterwards you'll speed up again. I remember once when I was driving, one camera and the next camera were very far apart. After I passed one traffic camera, I just felt, oh, call on the name of the Lord and speed up forwards. Just as when I call on the name of the Lord, I had a feeling. The Lord said, you're driving so fast. Do you want to die? Calling on the name of the Lord, it really helps us enter into the mingled spirit, to experience the discipline of the Spirit. We need to call on the name of the Lord to live a God-man living. And also by reading the Word of God.
When I read this passage, it said that Brother Lee said once, you think that I have gained this high divine peak revelation is from reading the Bible diligently? Not so, not just that. It's that in my daily life, I call on the Lord. When I call, the revelation came, the light came. So that was Brother Lee's experience. It was not something doctrinal. And Brother Lee's exercise is our model, is our good pattern for us, that we should call on the Lord to live the God-man living.
Calling on the name of the Lord, we can live the God-man living. And not only did the Lord give us the Spirit, we also have the Word of God outside of us. In John 6:63, in John it says, my words are spirit and our life. But how can we experience and enjoy the word? Ephesians 6, it says, we need to receive the sword of the Spirit by all prayer and petition. So by means of all prayer and petition, praying every time in spirit, watching unto all this in perseverance and petition. This is how we receive the word, by praying. When we read, we pray, and when we pray, we read. And we receive the Spirit, and the Spirit gives us a life, the nourishing of life. When we pray, read the word, we are strengthened inwardly to be led by the Spirit, and our living will be restricted by the Spirit. And then in Thessalonians, it says, in all things rejoice, unceasingly pray, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. We need to call on the name of the Lord. We need to pray, read the word, and we need to unceasingly pray. How can we live in a mingled spirit? How can we walk and live in the Spirit? By unceasingly praying. What can cause us to unceasingly pray? Well, breathing is something that we do unceasingly. So what this means is that you unceasingly pray. Oh, prayer needs to be our breathing. Every time we pray, we come to our spirit to have contact with the Lord. Receive the leading of the Spirit. Every time we pray, inwardly, we feel the anointing of the Spirit. So we need to really pay attention to this. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not grieve this Holy Spirit. Sometimes we want to do something, say some words. With our spouse, we want to say something, and then suddenly there's a feeling inwardly. No, stop. Just like when we're driving through a crossroad, there's a stop sign. Do not quench the Spirit. And we need to treasure prophecies. We need to speak for God and speak forth God by calling on the name of the Lord, by praying the word, by unceasingly praying, by not quenching the Spirit, and by not despising prophecies. We can have a corporate form, mold within us. I earnestly hope in the church life, we can have this practice. We really hope for having such a practice, such a reality, bringing in such a blessed church life. So I want to ask Brother Cui, if we all earnestly practice this after the training, after we've returned to wherever we came from, what kind of marvelous situation will arise?
Isn't this a miracle? Not really, but this is seeking. This should be our attitude, should be our prayer. How can we have a practical way to carry out this fellowship of revival? So that this will be expressed among us. Our brother mentioned here is to have a corporate model. Maybe let's read this together. The third paragraph on page, or maybe I'll just read to you. In the Lord's recovery, we need to have a genuine revival and a corporate model. Today, what we see that Christ is the centrality of this vision, that is, he is the indwelling spirit, be one with us. for this profound and mysterious vision. Our Lord needs a group of people to live this highest peak, that a group of people will be raised up by grace to live a life according to the revelation. So here we spoke many times concerning the model. It says that we need to build up this strong testimony, this model. So here we see that after we go back to our locality, the practical way is that we need our individual revival to bring in a corporate revival. So Brother Lee also grant us a command. So you saying that we as co-workers, as elders, we need to take the lead and then to be a pattern to lead your church into this practice. This is the way to produce the corporate model. So we say that when we have this corporate model, our brother many times mentioned many times to say that we need to show Christianity such a modern model. So the Christians may understand this truth, but they cannot see the reality. Because they don't see the model. So God's servant, our brother Lee, has a strong burden that we need to ask the Lord for a new revival. Speaking of this, I remember that 1984, Brother Lee in the U.S. has already began his work for about 20 years. So he saw that the Lord's recovery was going downhill. So he had this burden and returned to Taiwan. Of course, outwardly, we're learning how to practice the God-ordained way, but then intrinsically is to bring uplift the Lord's recovery. Hope that in Taiwan will show a condition of revival. So at that time, Brother Lee spoke to some brothers. So he was not very happy about the churches in the U.S. because of going downhill. So at first, when he began his work in the 60s, the Lord really greatly blessed his work in the U.S. And then he visited many places. A lot of saints, a lot of Christians were really open. So Brother Lee took it as a confirmation with him that for his work. Burley didn't mention too many times, but at that time when I was just a college student back in the 60s, we saw that there's a model. I give you two examples. This is not from the book. This is from experience. So a brother who coordinated with me about late 1960s, he from San Francisco, and then he came down to Los Angeles. At that time, the churches, the saints were really burning, and then they had a lot of practices. So in the meeting, they didn't have any messages. They were just there calling on the Lord. So this brother at that time, he wasn't saved then. And then he has some religious background. Maybe because in middle school, his parents just want him to be baptized. But because of a friend, he was brought to Los Angeles and he was saved. At first, he thought they were just very odd. And then he was not used to the calling, but he entered into the practice. And then he really experienced and touched the riches of Christ. The Lord is rich to all who call upon him. And then because of this, his life changed. His whole being changed. He was about 20 years old at that time. So thank the Lord. This model in Los Angeles, there was a model. And then something you can see, it's very substantial, it's touchable, and then you can taste it. And then it was also a very strong testimony. So I used this brother's example because he mentioned to me many times, it shows that it was a very deep impression. So about 6 years, he was preaching gospel in Fremont. He still spoke this story. So we see that we need a corporate model. It's good that I can pray read the Lord's word. Maybe you can pray read the Lord's word. It's great, but how the vitalized saints can come together and become one model. This is what the Lord needs today. So another story that I recall is that a sister from Northern California, when she was in her freshman year, she came to Los Angeles, attended their conference. At that time, another great practice they had was to pray read the Lord's word. They really pray read the Lord's word. The more they pray read, the more they touch the Lord. The more they pray read, the more they're strong in their spirit. They become fresher. And then within them, there's light. They're shining. And then there's also confession, repenting. So this sister, she testified later that because of this pray reading, she was already saved at that time. But because she entered into the practice, she saw this model, this pray reading changed her whole life. Today, she's already in her 70s. So she still treasure pray reading. We say PSRP, but she likes pray reading. She said, we need to pray read first before we can study. Amen. So my point is, back in Los Angeles, there was a model, and then that attracted people. Even back in Los Angeles, that model was not only just calling on the Lord, not only prayer reading, but we touched that the saints were willing to deny themselves. They were willing to not go to Christmas parties. They were willing not to go to birthday parties. But they just want to live a life that's the vitalized church life. This really attracted people. A lot of them brought their friends, brought their colleagues, brought their family and friends, told them that I'm already in the Lord's recovery on the ground of oneness. Words are no use. They just brought them. When they touch something, they enter in. So today, our brother, in his last 4 or 5 years, he had a strong burden. He asked, where's the reality of the body of Christ? So between the years 1993 to 1996, I came to the conferences and trainings, but I couldn't understand. I didn't understand why he asked, where is the reality of the body of Christ? Not only did I not understand, I only had some doubts. I want to ask Brother Lee, is there really no reality? So when I was reading this model, I had this realization that the reality of the body of Christ is to produce the model. Where is the reality of the body of Christ? So today, the answer is that we need to live a God-man living. We need to have a model. We need to have today's revival to bring in the reality of the body of Christ. Otherwise, we are still talking about this, the riches of the highest peak of the divine revelation. So I really appreciate that the brothers really use the 12 messages, and then also the messages in this conference, in this training, is to grant us a clear revelation to impress us. But today, what the Lord needs is our practice, our application. When we have the experience, exercise, and practice, this will produce a revival. This revival will bring in a testimony. So this is what we said, the model. So thank the Lord. We have a group of brothers and sisters who are willing to be revived by the Lord. I hope that many of us will have such a seeking, such a prayer. Lord, revive your work. This is the prayer of Habakkuk, also a prayer of our brother Lee, also our prayer.
From what Brother Tsui just said, I enjoyed something very much, which is that among us, the most urgent truth, the most urgent need is to ask the Lord for this new revival, not just for an individual revival, but for this corporate model. This is truly a very important burden that we have. Can Brother Song give us a bit more fellowship about this corporate model?
I was also touched by Brother Trey's testimony and sharing. The word touched me the most is this a corporate. It's not individual, but we revive to a point that when someone comes in, right away they get attracted because they see something. So how can we reach to this kind of condition? We need to have more in-depth studies. Now, this time we talk about revival. I actually did some research. I used a search engine in the Living Stream Ministry. And if you type in this revival, and there's more than 960 times this word came up, the word revival. As Brother Lee said about the matter of revival, this actually was in his ministry, and there were three places he talked about it. One is 1990 to 1961, the ministry of the word. And that's the first place that Brother Lee mentioned about this word revival. And this is the book, ministry book, 1959, September to 1960, June. And there were two messages in this book. One is about the law of revival. In 1960-61, he talked about the application of the revival. So we should all go to read these messages. Now, Brother Lee mentioned in these messages, he said he had some observations and he had some experiences. Even in 1962-63, there was a big revival in Yantai. But he said before 1960, he did not organize or put these things into a law, I got a lot of help from the message. He said, Christianity also talks about revival, as Brother Trey said, they want to have a revival. I remember before I was saved, I saw there were a lot of red banners by Christianity. They said, we're going to have a revival. We're going to have a spirit uplifting congregation, some kind of revival. It's shown on a red banner by some Christian churches. But maybe our natural concept is that when we got saved, we love the Lord, but then after a while, our burning fade away and we need some kind of revival. But Brother Lee said, this is not the true definition. And this kind of revival is accidental. It's not permanent. If you touch if someone get touched, then this person get revived. It's only temporary. We need to see that this revival should be a law. This law is not the law in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, but it's a scientific law. It means that there's the issue, there's the reason, and then there's the end result. For example, when the peach falls down, that's because the gravitational force. And Brother Lee said in his country, old country, in Yantai, and many people have some problem with their eyesight when it's dark, when it's dust, and people's eyes cannot see very clearly. And then someone accidentally found a kind of fish. It's called Lao Ban Yu. And the liver, this fish liver, can cure this eye problem. So if someone gets this problem, then they go catch this kind of fish and eat the liver. And then the problem went away. It must be some kind of a vitamin being a deficiency. So you need this kind of vitamin to be added in. So this is not accidental. There's a law. If you eat that liver, fish liver, your eye disease get cured. So this is a law. Similarly, regarding revival, we need to see it to a point that this is a law. If you obey certain conditions, we will reach the condition of a revival. Brother Lee gave a number of examples. He said, actually, in the universe, you can observe this law quite a bit. For example, in the winter, the leaves would die. Don't be afraid. The leaves will revive. 2 years ago, I went to Minnesota. A brother told me that there are only 2 days of spring in Minnesota. The leaves were dead, but 2 days later, the leaves all came out. What's that? That's revival. So in this universe, there's full of law of revival. For example, last night, maybe you felt very tired. And then the next day, when you woke up, you took a shower, you had some breakfast, you felt very revived. And even like today, you've been in the training in the morning, you feel good. But after 4 years, you probably now feel tired. So now you probably need a nap. And then your spirit can be revived. And then at night, maybe you get tired again, you need to go to bed. And then next day, next morning, you have a shower and you eat your breakfast, then you become revived again. So there's a law in our body. So spiritually it's the same. If you recognize, if you see this revival, then it's easy for you to get revival. It's not right for a Christian to be weak for a long time, to be down for a long time. For a Christian to stay in weakness, in down, very down, that's not right. Because this Christian must not have fulfilled the law of revival. For example, if you say, oh, I'm hungry, I'm weak. Why don't you just go eat? If you're tired, go drink some coffee. So there is a law. Brother Lee even said that even our spiritual life has a law. Christian should have at least 3 revivals. First, you get saved. And then after a while, you consecrate yourself and then you experience a second revival. And then after a while, you seem to experience that there's up and downs. Then you enter into the life of based on faith. So that's the third revival. Even in your daily life, there's big and small revivals. After the meetings, maybe you get a text message. There's something bad happened in your family. And what do? You feel very down, but you touch the Lord. As Brother Tsai said, that is the resurrection Christ, because Christ has resurrected. We get revitalized. That is revival. So Brother Lee said this is based on our individual experiences. But in 1989, Brother Lee talked about the shepherding, the growth of gospel preaching. But in 1989, Brother Lee said something more. See this book? The practice of the new way in chapter 4. Daily revival and daily renewing. This is the revival. Brother Lee said, a Christian should have big and small revivals, but the smallest unit is daily. Every morning we need to be revived. I remember a period of time during the COVID, and there was one period of time. Before the sun reached the tip of the tree, I was walking outside. It was beautiful. The sky was still not quite bright, was red. You see the sun start rising, and you see it at the tip of the tree, of the branches of the tree, and you feel you're filled with the hope, filled with the energy. Brother Lee said in Matthew, the verse that the righteous shall shine in the kingdom of God, and that the righteous, his path is like the sun, shall become brighter and brighter during the day. And Christian's life is like the sun rising, not sun going down. And as this is the vision that Brother Lee once saw, this should be our way. This should be the condition of everyone in the Lord's recovery. That is, we become brighter and brighter and stronger. Actually, these all depend on our spiritual seeing, spiritual practice. But this is not what we talk about merely. We want to talk about the corporate revival in the Lord's recovery. If every brother and every sister, we practice the God-man living and get revived every morning and obeying the revival law, the Lord's revival will bring in the biggest, the highest, the long-lasting revival. So this is what I want to say at the end. The brotherly said in Christianity, even among us, we haven't seen such kind of model. The Lord has given us the Bible and the Spirit, but the children of God have not seen the revelation in the Bible, even regarding the Spirit, that our spirit get united with the Spirit of the Lord. We don't have this practice, so we need a model. And this model can be a stepping stone to bring back the Lord. So brothers and sisters, have you noticed that in this perfecting training, that this the title is the urgent, the central burden and the present truth of the Lord's recovery. You know what's the last part before his appearing? Don't forget the last part. That means that before the Lord's appearing, we just need to live the God-man living, live or following this kind of revelation. Then the Lord will appear to us. Praise the Lord.